Hey, it's Anna Sale, and I want to thank you for listening to Death, Sex, and Money, where I explore the big questions and hard choices that are often left out of polite conversation. You can hear new episodes ad-free every week on Amazon Music, where you can find Death, Sex, and Money and all of your Slate favorites without the ads.
Hi, I'm Josh Levine. My podcast, The Queen, tells the story of Linda Taylor. She was a con artist, a kidnapper, and maybe even a murderer. She was also given the title The Welfare Queen, and her story was used by Ronald Reagan to justify slashing aid to the poor. Now, it's time to hear her real story. Over the course of four episodes, you'll find out what was done to Linda Taylor, what she did to others, and what was done in her name.
The great lesson of this, for me, is that people will come to their own conclusions based on what their prejudices are.
Subscribe to The Queen on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening right now.
Hey, it's Anna. Before we get to our new episode, I have some significant, though incomplete, news to share from Death, Sex, and Money headquarters. There's a big change coming for our show. Since we launched in 2014, we've made it with WNYC, the public radio station in New York, which, like a lot of podcast and digital media companies, is facing a really difficult budget situation. Because of that, they have to make cuts, and we've learned that our show is affected by those cuts. But what exactly that will mean, we aren't sure yet. Here's what I can tell you. The way we have been making Death, Sex, and Money is ending at the end of this year. We don't know yet what that's going to mean for you, our listeners. I'm working with WNYC to talk to potential new partners or production homes for the show. Right now, though, that is all I know. I will share updates with you about the future of our show as I know them. Until then, we are continuing to make Death, Sex, and Money through the end of this year at WNYC. And the team and I, we're supporting each other through this uncertainty. They are such amazing colleagues, friends, and audio professionals. And I'm also struck by how you have helped train us for this time of uncertainty by sharing your stories of making it through transitions, some you didn't see coming. The team and I are in one of those life moments where you can't see around the corner, where you know you're facing an end, but you can't see yet what that's making room for. It takes faith. And for me, this also comes with overwhelming gratitude for all that we've gotten to make together. If you want to be in touch with questions or ideas or notes of support, we'll take them. Send us an email at deathsexmoney@wnyc.org. We may have more specific questions for you about what's been most important to you about Death, Sex, and Money as we imagine possible futures for the show. But for now, I just want to say sincerely, thank you so much for doing this with us.
There's kind of a lack of obsession sometimes in my life that makes me gravitate towards other people that have stronger obsessions, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I see, you know, whether it's someone who's a big fan of a specific movie or, you know, anti-circumcision advocate or something, there's something like that I'm envious of with their dedication to a single thing. I don't feel that strongly about stuff.
This is Death, Sex, and Money, the show from WNYC about the things we think about a lot and need to talk about more. I'm Anna Sale. And I want you to meet John Wilson.
One of the nicest things about living in a city is walking to the store to get something you need. You find the thing you want, pay for it, and take it straight home in your hand, usually without incident.
Sorry.
You may already know him if you've watched his show, How To with John Wilson, which just finished its third and final season. If you haven't seen it, try it. I find it makes me appreciate all the tiny, weird moments unfolding in regular old daily life from the wildly absurd to the achingly sweet. John Wilson notices it all.
Is this your living room or is this an office space where you are right now?
This is my living room. This is where I spend so much of my time. I spend a disgusting amount of time in this room.
Disgusting amount.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if there was like a, you know, it's like when your phone tells you how much time you spend on it, you know, I wouldn't like to know how much time I spend in this room.
What's the poster behind you?
Strosek. It's like my favorite Herzog movie. I don't know if you've seen it.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't seen it, but I have heard a lot about Strosek. There was a time in my life when I was surrounded by film students or people who wanted to be film students, and so I have had the entire plot of Strosek described to me a few times.
I got this poster maybe 7-8 years ago, and I made the frame myself. But it's
You did?
Yeah, it's very like. Yeah, it looks okay, but it's actually very poorly made, but you can't really tell.
So John Wilson is the kind of guy who not only decorates his apartment with vintage posters of the art he loves, but he also hand builds the frames to display them in. I've been thinking about hobbies lately, because in my life, I'm just starting to feel a door open to having a little more time to explore the things I might be interested in, mostly enabled by the fact that my kids are just old enough to put their own shoes on and make themselves their own snacks. And I have this question, what do I do for fun? John Wilson has built his life around his hobbies. They're the raw material of his show. It's hard to explain if you haven't seen it, but his show, How To, on HBO, it's this beautiful collage of micro moments caught on camera while walking around New York City, mostly the unfancy, grimy parts. He tracks down wackadoo characters he finds on the internet and meets them in person. And he treats people with dignity and takes their interests seriously. And they are usually even more obsessed with things than he is.
I do feel strongly about my own work and film and stuff, but other than that, you know, I wish that I could feel as intensely as other people do sometimes.
That's so interesting, like an enviousness of like their clarity of purpose. Like,
yeah, like, I mean, I guess I do consider myself, you know, as an eccentric in certain ways, and I like to I like to be around other people that have that quality, you know, whatever their obsession is.
When did you like come upon that was something that was fun for you to document, to talk to people about their very specific passions that you were obsessed with finding those kinds of people?
I think that a lot of the work that I did for money throughout my 20s, you know, there was a lot of like commercial video and we would be interviewing these corporate clients, you know, talking about a specific product or, you know, some really dry convention that we're at. And I just, more than anything, wanted to get to know these people, but it was just this, it was just forbidden, you know, like in this environment. And I, you know, simultaneously was just like watching all of these like really amazing documentaries that were kind of shaping my aesthetic in a way. And, you know, I wanted my own work and I wanted the art to be about like just like exploring the nuances in all of these people that usually don't get the microphone.
And as John's paying attention to all that, he's documenting it on camera and with extensive notebooks that were piled up on a bookshelf in his living room.
I have two different kinds of journals. I have a long form and a short form journal. The long form is more just, you know, me describing an event or just, you know, the really granular details of something that happened to me and, you know, something that I may not cover in the short form calendars. And then, yeah, the other books are short form calendars that I document all of the, you know, just the raw facts of where I went and who I went with, to a specific place.
Uh-huh. How long have you kept those short form journals?
I've been doing the short form journal since about 2007. So, you know, I could tell you what I did any single day from, you know, now until then.
So you were like mid-college when you started?
Yeah. It wasn't as comprehensive when I first started it. It was just like a single kind of line item every single day. But now it's like everything down to the, you know, a trip to the grocery store or like where I went to go get coffee, stuff like that. But, you know, most of it's like horribly boring, you know?
Why do you do this every single day?
I don't know. I don't know why I do any stuff. If I had questioned why I do that, then I wouldn't have it. If I had questioned why I'm filming something like boring, then I wouldn't have filmed it, you know? All this stuff that I do, I like to have it just in case I need it in the future, because like the purpose kind of this stuff begins to mutate over time, and it may be useful, especially like when you're trying to piece together a story or a memory of something.
Do you find it soothing?
To do what?
To write down in the short journal, to like when you get to that part of your day, is it like a satisfying exercise?
No, I kind of hate it.
Huh.
I would wish I could stop, but I just would feel like a failure if I did.
Huh.
But I just can't stop for some reason.
I want to ask you about one of your other habits, and that is looking at Craigslist.
Oh yeah.
And I when did that start for you? When you were like, oh, there's ideas in here. I don't just need to go here when I have a need for a couch. There's something here.
I think probably pretty early on in my life on the internet. You know, like Craigslist is just like this universal connector, and you know, I realized that it's like it's either the first or last resort for people trying to do something. It's like, I think that creates a really unique crop of people trying to interact with one another, and especially on a free Craigslist, because you know, like this is the step between like selling something and completely throwing something away. Like people are willing to take time out of their day just to make sure that this thing isn't destroyed or unloved. And that's why I like to spend so much time on there, even though I don't always go to pick up stuff, but sometimes I do. And it sometimes changes my life.
Huh. Wow. Do you have a laptop nearby?
Yeah.
Can you go on Craigslist with me? Can we
sure.
do a Craigslist look together?
Sure.
Because I have to say, like, to me, Craigslist, like, is so overstimulating. Like, just all of the words, I find it the opposite of what I would want to do with my downtime.
Oh, yeah? Why
even though I'm sure there are story ideas in there, I'm just like, oh, my God, I'm overwhelmed. I don't even know where to go. So when you go to Craigslist, where do you start? Can you just walk me through?
Yeah, I mean, I just could go to, you know, New York Craigslist. I just click on free. It's right under for sale. Are you there, too?
I'm there, yeah.
Okay, so do you see the very first post is for 100 a listing for 100 pounds of candy? Do you see that? Yeah.
And then what do you, is that one that you would click on to be like, how did this come to be?
Yeah. You know, what's the story? It seems like there's also a bunch of medicine mixed into it too. The pictures are really interesting, but it's like, that's another thing is that I usually just take the screenshots, you know, and I have a really large archive of those because this is all one of a kind imagery, you know, like you're not going to find this anywhere else. And it disappears so quickly. And there's something that I really love about how ephemeral that is.
Oh, so you take a screenshot on your computer and you save it away. What, and then how do you label them?
I label them all by, I have multiple bins of, you know, like folders. Like one will be, you know, like tiny houses that people make for pets that they give away. Or,
that's a
which
folder.
which there are a lot of. And then there's another folder of things that have to do with breakups or relationships. Like people giving away something because their boyfriend cheated on them, or getting rid of a Jar Jar Binks costume because their husband hates it, or something like that. But yeah, I started to notice patterns after a while, and I lump everything into the appropriate bins.
I'm seeing. Do you see the plastic fork?
I do. Yeah, that one. I actually took a screenshot of that earlier today.
Oh, you did? Like, You've already seen it.
I'm honestly on it like every half hour, you know, if I'm home, and I, you know, like my people joke that, like, you know, it's easier to get in contact with me on here sometimes than it is like through email.
Wow. Is it always New York?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Is it because you want to make sure you could follow up in person somehow if there's an interesting story to pursue?
Yeah, I always like to just keep my options open like that. If it feels like I feel the closest to New York when I'm looking at this sometimes, when I'm not actively out on the street, this is the other New York that is, like, you know, operating just on a different kind of layer. I just found a really funny one. Do you see portable basketball hoop?
Uh-huh.
In fair condition. It's just the most pitiful picture of this basketball hoop. It's on its side. It's like covered in moss. But it says it's in fair condition, which is just so funny. Like, I love when people are very descriptive about the object, you know, like beautiful coffee table, or, you know, just like ravishing portrait of a, you know, a Rottweiler.
Do you have really good descriptors? Like, since you're such a student of your Craigslist descriptors?
Yeah, I mean, I try to, you know, just have just the facts. But what I love is when people, like, a lot of people, when they post something on free Craigslist, will like, they'll immediately be angry in the post, and they'll say something like, "Don't ask me any questions," like like as if you are spending money, you know, like, because like, people will usually, in my experience, like, I'll put something on for free, you know, I was getting rid of a chandelier, you know, that my old landlord had hooked up, but it was just like really big and I just didn't want it on the first floor, and, you know, I'm just like giving it away for free, and all these people have all these questions about the year of it and like what the maker is, and I'm just like, I totally identify with the people who, like, who have that disclaimer on their posts now. It's like, don't ask me questions, this is like free, like, you're not spending money, just like, take it or not. If they have like personal questions for me, that's fine, but I don't know anything about the maker of the chandelier. A lot of people put like curb alerts, you know, on Craigslist, and it'll just be like, I'll post those every now and then. You know, if there's something interesting on the street somewhere, you give the address. like someone, I took a funny screenshot of one where there was like a full rack of baby back ribs on the sidewalk. And it was like, but it was
on a plate?
No. It was
or
like
just on the sidewalk.
It was still in the plastic that you like, it seemed like a pre kind of seasoned one from the grocery store. And you know, it's this really funny picture of the ribs, but then it just says like, I like these ribs are on, Stuyvesant and whatever. Do not ask me any questions about the ribs. I am not the owner of the ribs. Just like, I'm just letting you know where they are. And it's just funny to like, to inconvenience yourself, you know, while trying to help other people. It's just like a really complex like impulse to do that kind of stuff.
I feel like that's very New York.
Yeah.
I'm helping you, but don't ask me. Don't take any more of my time.
Yeah.
Have you ever made a friend through Craigslist?
Oh, totally. I mean, when I was living in Somerville in Massachusetts, I was looking for a roommate. And these two people showed up. One of them was really bubbly and he worked at a coffee shop. And me and my roommates were like, all right, yeah, let's take him because we'll get free coffee from him. But then he didn't respond to us. So we went with the other guy who was much quieter. And he became like my best friend. And, you know, he's a big reason why the show even got made now, just through a kind of a weird series of connections. And it kind of terrifies me to think that we would have never met and I wouldn't have like met all the people kind of around him and, you know, vice versa, I think. I don't think I would have a show probably if I didn't meet someone on Craigslist like a while ago. It's weird.
Who you tried to reject.
Yeah. And that was also a lesson in like, don't pick the bubbly person that works at the coffee shop. Just pick like the normal person. Yeah. maybe a little harder to read might be more rewarding.
That somehow seems like consistent with what I understand to be one of your things you really care about, which is like thinking about the loss of making a quick decision and then what could be lost if you don't think it through.
It's paralyzing. Like thinking about every little thing that is like, it kind of brought me here, I guess, for better or for worse. Yeah. I all of these moments that were just seem like pure chance that like that have shaped like absolutely everything. I think just relying on chance like that kind of does put me in a good space sometimes. And there's something I like about the purity of something like Craigslist. You know, like I know that kind of whatever is coming through this is real, and you know, I feel like it usually guides me in the right direction.
That's John Wilson. All three seasons of How To with John Wilson are on HBO. I love them. Congrats on a great run, John. You deserve a rest and maybe even a day off from journaling. Death, Sex, and Money is a listener-supported production of WNYC Studios in New York. This episode was produced by Matt Frassica, Emily Botine, and me. The rest of the team is Zoe Azoulay, Liliana Maria Percy-Ruiz, Amy Pearl, Lindsay Foster-Thomas, and Andrew Dunn. Our intern is Ellie McKay. The Reverend John Delure and Steve Lewis wrote our theme music. Find us on Instagram at DeathSexMoney and subscribe to our weekly newsletter at deathsexmoney.org/newsletter, where you can read what the team and I and our listeners are thinking about from week to week. Thank you to Caroline Cloutier in Verdun, Quebec, for being a member of Death, Sex, and Money and supporting us with a monthly donation. We couldn't do this without you, Caroline, and all of our sustaining members. So thank you. One more reason I really like John Wilson's work: it's the opposite of the slick, aspirational images that you usually see on TV shows and all of our Instagram accounts. That's intentional, and it starts, he told me, with his search terms on Craigslist.
Sometimes I'll go to just like the normal for sale, and I'll type in the word ugly.
This is such a hot tip. People are going to be emulating your style of art.
Yeah, and here we go. So the very first thing, Upper West Side, like McDonald's movie swag from the 1990s. Like, what is this shit? Sorry. Ooh, that's kind of cool. Lion King backpack.
I'm Anna Sale, and this is Death, Sex, and Money from WNYC. I want to thank you for listening and for all your support as we at Death, Sex, and Money have made our move to Slate. Your stories, voice memos, and emails have meant so much to the team. As part of this transition, there's a new way to support our show financially at Slate, our new home, and you'll get something special in return. Subscribe to Slate Plus, and you'll not only support our work on Death, Sex, and Money, you'll get access to new benefits, including listening to us and all of the other great shows Slate makes, like Slow Burn and Decoder Ring, without any ads or sponsor breaks. To subscribe, just click Try Free at the top of the Death, Sex, and Money show page on Apple Podcasts, or visit slate.com/DSM Plus to get access wherever you listen. Thanks.